Good day, fellow dealmakers. Welcome to Deal Scout. 7 minutes on the clock. Mr. Aaron, tell us about who you are and what you do.
Aaron Halfacre. I'm the CEO of Motive Industrial. Motive Industrial is a publicly traded REIT on the New York Stock Exchange, big board, ticker MDV. We are the only pure play REIT that's focused on industrial manufacturing assets. We believe that the rhetoric we're seeing in the public discourse about onshoring and reshoring is real. It's here to stay. We've chronically underinvested in American manufacturing over the last 30 years, and now we're seeing a sea change towards reinvesting, building our manufacturing capability back. All we buy is manufacturing assets on long-term net leases to solid credits across the United States, employing good labor force in America, and just providing an opportunity for investors to buy something that's made versus something that's sold, right? So often in real estate, if it isn't housing people, it's selling shit. It's got dollar stores and it's got strip malls, and those are all fine things, but they just take the consumption of our dollars as opposed to making something. And we buy manufacturing facilities that are building infrastructure components, guardrails, precast concrete, precision defense, aerospace, and medical types of machining equipment. Things like this that are really essential that you're not going to find on Amazon Marketplace, that you're not going to be able to use your own consumer discretionary dollars for, but there's a lot of strength and power behind it. So that's kind of what we do. And I think we're a unique approach to it. I've been in the business for 25 years. This is my second REIT that I've taken public. There's been a REIT that I've taken private. Even though I'm a CEO and I'm hired by the board, I'm the second largest individual investor out there. So I think like an investor. So we do what's right. We pay a monthly dividend. That's what Motive stands for, monthly dividends. That's yielding about 7.5%, 8%, depending on what day you're looking at the stock price. And we trade, you know, at a steep discount to our net asset value. So these are fundamentals that we've said in our earnings releases. If you ever go type up MDV on your phone or something like that, you'll see the types of earning releases I put out, very candid, very transparent, no nonsense, believe in, you know, investing in America and believe in the manufacturing.
So when it comes, like, I've got a big American flag behind me. I'm a patriot through and through. And when it comes to the idea of made in America, I believe it, right? I like it. But is it, as an investor, right? I'm an investor. As an investor, is it worth investing in America and made in the America, right? Like, I see these signs, like, you know, 7% dividend, 7.5%, that's awesome, right? Really good job. What are your thoughts on that as you're talking to investors about made in America, invest in America? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so if you think about going back in history, we were one of the most dominant manufacturing nations ever. And then in the late 80s, we started to forsake it. We started to go into this global just-in-time delivery model where we said it works fine if we can get it outsourced from another nation. And that did work as long as it worked. And what happened was COVID-19 and then the invasion of Ukraine and then the Panama Canal having physical limitations in terms of water, or the attacks in the Suez Canal have let us know that the supply chain can be disrupted. And so the supply chain for critical, essential things that make a nation strong are important and are good to invest in. It doesn't mean that, you know, that your tube socks or your t-shirts or your undergarments need to be made in the United States necessarily, because you may not need them on demand. You know, you may not care if you have to wait a year or 6 months for them to get over on a shipping container, and you don't want to pay top dollar necessarily. So doesn't mean global just-in-time delivery is going to end. It doesn't mean that manufacturing on offshore doesn't stay, but the critical components, the things that we need to be a strong nation, the things to function, the things that are essential to our well-being as a nation, are good things to invest in and earn income from. The whole political rhetoric right now around the CHIPS Act, where we're moving back semiconductor technology, think about that. That's a defensive play, right? We're trying to take chip manufacturing that's on Taiwan, make sure that we have it in the United States so that we are defensively prepared to put chips in cars or chips in planes and do what we need to do as a nation.
Yeah, I love this conversation. And I like how you say, like, tube socks, right? If you're going to buy tube socks, it's okay if you wait a week. But we saw this in the construction industry where people weren't able to get windows and doors and materials for months. And it really hurt the construction industry, especially during the supply chain issues. So now when you guys are looking to buy or invest in a manufacturing facility, is that how you measure if we're going to buy investing? Is it critical to today's needs versus tube socks for tomorrow. What are your thoughts there?
Absolutely. We need to, what we're looking for is survivorship bias. And ideally, we're looking for manufacturers that have been around through multiple Fed chairs. Volcker, Greenspan, Bernanke, Powell, they've survived multiple economic environments. They've survived the outsourcing trend. They've survived the underinvestment, and they're still viable. Why? Because they're doing something critical. And so that criticality is typically infrastructure-based. It's something aerospace and defense and medical and just broader infrastructure. So we want to make sure we intuitively understand their business. Like guardrails, we get. Luxury dog food, we don't get, right? We want to have them be a player in their space, not too small. And we want their facility to manufacture the most that they do, because that's their golden goose. And they're going to take care of that golden goose and be pay rent for a long time to come.
Yeah. One last thing before the 7 minutes is up. You mentioned MMA in your your earnings, you know, docs. What, yeah. Talk to us about that, and where can people find out more information about you and do a deal with you? Maybe invest in your group.
If you have an iPhone or an Android, go into the stock app, type up MDV, you're going to see the press releases. The most recent one was last week, Monday. The one before that was third quarter earnings. You're going to see a style where I talk about things and gives, I relate what we do to simple common language that we all understand, because that's how we should be speaking in this business. This is not rocket science. A lot of times it's just numbers and gobbledygook and legalese. And I really try to bring it out. So I talked about a mistake we made about calf kicks in the UFC. I've talked about a lot of things in my different things. And I, you know, some people say it's a Warren Buffett style approach to writing. I just think it's a real good approach to writing. And my job is to be transparent. So NYC ticker MDV, Motive Industrial, solid company, buying manufacturing, no nonsense.
Yeah, super cool. Fellow dealmakers out there, as always, reach out to our guests and say thanks for being on the show. If you have a deal that you'd like to talk about here on The Deal Scout, head on over to thedealscout.com, fill out a quick form, maybe get you on the show next. Till then, we'll talk to you on the next episode.